Today's Tuesday, August 20th. We are almost, but not quite, fully recovered from that thing that almost killed us.
Yeah, you know, that smell that everything smells like. Like, I noticed it once yesterday. And I felt like, oh, I'm getting through it.
I still can't taste food properly, so.
It smells like the Canadian wilderness. We can start with the Jeep Pie as custom demands, because we have an excellent FCC story. Now, if you'll remember, the FCC changed the way things work, where you're not allowed to complain about certain things anymore. Now, in the past, you could complain, but they had two complaint boxes. They had one, which was basically a shredder. So you're just like, oh, I want to complain about my ISP. You know, and then another one that actually went into the complaints, but you had to fill out like 500 pages and pay, what was it, $200-some dollars?
$225 to lodge a complaint.
Now, there was a man who, bless his soul, went through the process. And what happened? Well,
the FCC forgets about, then dismisses, complaint detailing Verizon's long history of net neutrality violations. So this was Alex Nguyen. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that.
I doubt it, but I can't correct you.
He did it. He did the $225 thing, but his complaint is a masterpiece of humanity. It is a Michelangelo or, you know, a Donatello. I don't know. It's a work of art. It is just, it is so amazing. And it's got references and, like, you know, citation needed. And it just goes on and on and on. Like, if you're into, like, if you're addicted to outrage, you should read the complaint, because there is no way that nobody would read the complaint and not just be seething with anger afterwards.
So, what happened? Well, the FCC ignored it for a very long time.
Which is illegal.
Yeah, presumably. Now, when you go through, when you pay your $225, you get some stuff in return for that, and that is a guarantee that somebody's going to look at it and reply to you in some manner. Now, they can reply to you and say, you know, wrong, you're wrong, which is what they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't do it on time.
Because
clearly, after they got rid of this program, they just closed the box and sealed it away somewhere. And someone found it, I guess. I'm not sure what kind of audit was going on. And then they got around to telling him, no, you're wrong.
Well, it wasn't just no, you're wrong. And it's like, these claims are unsubstantiated. And it's like, there are literally legal cases. Like, some of the references in the thing that the guy was complaining about in the complaint are legal cases that were brought against Verizon for anti-competitive behavior. And in some cases, Verizon lost those lawsuits. It's like, oh, this is unsubstantiated. And it's like,
but we all know a Jeep Pie's close relationship with Verizon. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it.
Right? Like I said, you read it, you will be seething with anger, especially at the response. Like, they just didn't even try. It's literally like, what? No, pleb, go away.
What could they do? They can't dispute it. Just pretend it doesn't exist.
They can only pretend that words mean something other than what they mean. That's the only option.
It worked for Bill Clinton.
Can you tell me what the definition of is?
Now, continuing with the FCC's oversight of these major corporations, let's talk about CenturyLink and something called cramming. What is cramming, you ask? Well, it's not studying for a test, as I remember that's what that word being. It's not something you'd find on Urban Dictionary. It has to do with billing?
Just when I thought I couldn't be any more angry, I stumbled across this article from CNET. CenturyLink, the FCC, reach a settlement over cramming fees on phone bills. Under the deal with the FCC, the phone and internet provider is going to pay the princely sum of $550,000. Now, remind me again how much money they made from making up fees and billing customers.
I'm sure it was a multiple of that number.
They are being sued for $12 billion in civil court.
Now, this had to do with third-party charges. So they would let third parties just tack charges onto your Verizon bill. I'm sure they got a cut of
CenturyLink
that.
CenturyLink bill.
I'm sorry, CenturyLink. And I'm sure they took a cut of that.
Yes, they did.
And you could complain about it, but they would just say, no, you owe the money. And why would the third party lie about
their
this?
Their internal audit said that they found nothing wrong, and the FTC is just like, ugh. All right, we'll bill you $500,000. $500,000 to collect $12 billion in fraudulent fines? I mean, that seems like who wouldn't do the fraudulent fines or fraudulent fees?
More importantly, none of that money will go to the people who were robbed.
Right.
It'll go to the FCC, who's in bed with CenturyLink. So it's kind of like, it's like when the mob writes themselves a check so they can take their mistress on vacation.
And the check that they wrote has force of government for collecting it.
Yeah, it's those union dues. So, terrible. Now, the FCC's older, more serious brother, the FTC, has more and more been tasked with picking up the pieces that they drop. You know, the floor is carpeted with Legos, and the FTC is coming along. It's like, all right, I'll clean this up again. And it seems like maybe we should depend on them. I don't know. But there is the risk of evil corporations being taken over and policed by evil government. Like, are we? Is that a step in the right direction? Is that a lateral move?
It's not even evil government. It's ambivalent government.
No, I think these guys are evil.
The U.S. FTC chief says that their regulator is prepared to break up big tech firms, according to Bloomberg. I mean, if you look at the complaint against Verizon, what they're doing is far more egregious than what AT&T was doing before they were broken up. Now, arguably, the AT&T breakup was actually worse for consumers. But still.
I don't think he'll go after Verizon, though. I think they're talking about the Google social and companies. Facebook. And yeah, Google, Amazon, Facebook, All those big ones. Now, the things that he said about it weren't really bedrock comments. Things like, it's not ideal, it's very messy, but if you have to, you have to. Like, what does that mean? I guess it's just sort of like the threat is out there. The sword of Damocles is hanging.
Would it be a fair statement that Amazon is a more successful Walmart with basically the same mantra and operational logistics as Walmart?
Yeah, but...
And Walmart's been around since, what, the 70s?
But Walmart is fairly apolitical outside of the union thing.
This is probably like, no, these companies are getting political. They're meddling. We need to stop them.
I think that probably has a lot to do with it. Yeah, I mean, certainly if you think about Facebook, there's no secret that Zuckerberg wants that power. And Google is really swinging a lot of power in terms of like the new age.
Oh, yeah, the leaks and
stuff. The gender identity and that kind of politics. And then, of course, you've got Bezos, who is unapologetic in his wielding of power.
So is this is like a sandlot, you know, fisticuffs between 11-year-olds trying to figure out who actually wields the power.
Yeah, but it's like Chicago. It's 11-year-olds with guns. And a lot of us are standing on the side watching.
Hoping not to get caught by a stray bullet.
Yeah. So, remember that NSA program where they were recording everybody's calls? Now, it had an interesting history. It didn't work, and then they did it again, and it continued not to work because it was too difficult. And then they decided they were going to stop doing it. And then after they decided they were going to stop doing it, then they were going to cancel it. So it's like a weird series of events. And it just gets weirder.
The Trump administration has asked Congress to reauthorize NSA's deactivated call records program. Now, our suspicion was that these call records are no longer necessary because the information comes in other ways. So it would be a little bit like we don't need to inspect packages anymore directly at the NSA facilities because we've co-opted the Postal Service to x-ray and photograph every single piece of mail that goes through the postal system. So why would we need anything else?
Why would you go through this then? This was done kind of, you know, behind the scenes as much as possible for this kind of thing. Obviously, there's a record of it, and somebody at the New York Times dug it up. But this was the Freedom Act, which replaced the Patriot Act, because they needed a word that was more diametrically opposed to what it is than Patriot. So it's weird. I don't know why. Why would you bother? Because the NSA has said it's not realistic. And I don't, maybe technology is catching up. And they're like, you know what? We could do this now.
The AI could like trawl things.
We can get the Jedi cloud. Pop this right in there. We've got the means to do this now. Don't cancel it.
That's horrifying.
Also, speaking of the Trump administration, we know their argumentative relationship with Huawei. And yet, it seems like there's a lot of threats, right? But what have we really done to Huawei?
Government can't buy Huawei anymore.
We make these big announcements, though, and then every time it comes down to the wire, you walk it back a little bit.
Yeah. So Reuters has this article. The U.S. is set to give Huawei another 90 days to buy from American suppliers. So this is to allow Huawei to service their existing customers and take care of their existing obligations. American companies will be allowed to continue to sell to Huawei. So,
yeah, I kind of got to wonder if, like, Xi's not on the phone. He's like, hey, listen, Trump, I'm sure you've seen the news. I'm dealing with these plebs over here, so... Can you just give us 90 days? I got to wrap this up, and then we'll get back to our trade war. But I am just booked up. I got to keep my boot on these people's necks.
Remember from the early, like the early leaks, the early discussion of like the whole Huawei versus America. There were some internal memos from Huawei that said that they were going to try to stockpile parts and everything that they would need to service customers for the next year or so. So it's. I wonder if there's any strategic change with that, or if this is just moving that shutdown line a little farther out. It's definitely affecting Huawei's earnings more than they want to let on, though.
Well, they're talking about the American customers that would be affected by it. So I think it was kind of like, oh, is that an unintended consequence that I wasn't sure about when I said that off the cuff? Well, okay.
It would be obvious to anybody with a pulse.
Let's just extend this, and I'll deal with that later. We got a story about Huawei coming up in the security section, which is interesting. Oh no, yeah. Actually, it's in government. It's just toward the end because it's not America. So, Google. There was the right-wing conservatives at Google were angry.
The Dragonfly project.
The Dragonfly project, and then there was the facial recognition. Were they? Did they have a facial recognition thing?
I think yeah, and then like the pregnancy thing.
Pregnant women. Who can we add to that list? Well, we can add the immigrants.
Google workers demand that company not work with border agencies, according to Bloomberg. So there's an internal memo. It said that only like 90 employees had signed it so far, which I thought was kind of a shockingly low number. But this is basically, there's the Department of Homeland, or not Department of Homeland Security, the Immigrations and Customs. They've got a bid out to try to find a contractor to handle their internal infrastructure. And remember, Microsoft had, you know, this last year or the year before. So this is probably that contract.
This includes the license plate trawling.
Yeah.
And, you know, the work records and stuff like that. So
Google's like, ooh, free government money. And the workers are like, not so fast.
Yeah. Very similar to the Chinese thing, if you think about it. Now, with the Chinese thing, you have the argument here. It's like, well, these people are committing a crime, right? But then, of course, I shouldn't have said that. But I think Google's probably going to have to back down on this one because of public sentiment on this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, even, you know, even if, well, no, I mean, it's just not, I don't know. It's the people that would wield the technology are too stupid to wield the technology. I think that's a pretty safe statement.
Well, I'm sure Google can make it real easy for them. You know, Google's good at that.
Gosh, that would be really scary. The algorithm has determined that you must be deported. And it's like, wait, what?
You wake up in the morning and you've got a list of people to round up. You don't question it. You're like, oh, it's the AI has spoken.
It'd be like, it's like when you're fired. It's like all your accounts stop working. And then it's like, oh, you need to go into the HR office. It's like, you already knew because your account stopped working. It's like you try to log into Gmail and it's like, that's weird. That's not working. And then it's like, you hear people outside, and it's like, oh no, the algorithm has deported me.
You might be thinking, do we really need to put more resources toward protecting the border? Is that really a big deal? Yeah, it turns out we probably do.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection says that its systems are being restored after an earlier outage snarled international arrivals at airports. So this is perhaps a worse situation. International travelers coming in, you know, maybe we should...
These are legit citizens.
Yeah.
These are Americans coming home.
Have tabs on this, maybe. It's like, oh, whoops. Oh, well.
So I think in one airport, they said there were 5,000 people in line to get back into the country. Some planes, they weren't even letting them off the plane. Imagine that nightmare.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently they fixed it. Still not sure as of Friday, when this article was written, what exactly happened to it. But they assure us that's not going to happen again, which is a weird assurance when you don't know what it was.
They know what it was. They just don't want to say because it was so stupid.
How excited are you for the next election cycle? Oh, man, I love it. It's so great when the entire world loses their... Now, the world has not stopped losing its mind since Trump was elected.
I really think people are addicted to outrage.
How are we going to go from that new baseline of outrage to a new level? What's that going to look like? It's going to be absolutely crazy.
I think we're getting a preview of what that looks like in Portland.
Yeah. Well, that's also ongoing. I mean, that's not new. Anyway, we're going to have an election. And so when you have an election in the U.S., you use Windows XP. That's right. That's right. That's what we use. And a judge in Georgia has been looking at that. Why it took this long, I don't know.
A judge has ruled that the voting machines are unsecure, unreliable, and grossly outdated. But the state can use them anyway because there's literally no way to change before the election.
It could subvert freedom and democracy, but there's no time to fix it.
I've got a better headline. Dear Mr. Putin, attack here.
So they have a contract with a new voting machine company that's going to be a backup system, but not in 2020.
Yeah.
It's not going to be ready yet. So
they spent over $100 million on these voting systems, which, I mean, seems unnecessary.
I don't understand why you need a commercial operating system for a voting machine.
I don't understand why they could spend that much. Like, I'm all about like technology and really awesomeness, and this is one of several stories this week where it's like, this doesn't need to be 21st century technology. Like, this is dumb.
A Chinese company could make voting machines that do whatever a voting machine needs to do for probably about $15 a copy.
Yeah.
That's including shipping.
Yeah.
It'll be on the boat. You won't get it over in the air, but we got a year before we get them anyway, right?
Why?
And you get a free year Amazon Prime with that, too.
It's like your technology people are telling you this is dumb, and it's like, no, we got to do this anyway. It's like, no, you don't. No, you don't.
Facial recognition is a hot topic. Some states and municipalities are embracing it. Of course, we've got the Ring thing going on with Amazon getting in bed with law enforcement.
Well, we're going to talk about that later.
But then we've got places like San Francisco and was there one in North Carolina? And there's one in New England, right?
Yep.
And just certain cities are saying, nope, facial recognition is not ready. We don't want it. Ohio has taken kind of a middle-of-the-road approach to the problem.
The Ohio Attorney General has yanked access to state facial recognition system for over 4,500 officers. This is a weird one because the Attorney General said that he looked through the searches and only found some abuse. Not a lot of abuse. Not widespread abuse.
Just a little
abuse.
This was, I can't remember who broke the story, but somebody did a story about, it was the Washington Post. So they did the story about how every law enforcement person in Ohio, plus all the federal agencies, have access to the facial recognition system. And that's pretty crazy, right? Why would you need that? We have seen story after story of cops who will stalk women. There was that one guy, and his dating pool was just non-English-speaking women who he stalked through the DMV program. And he was fairly successful at it until he got caught.
Not even joking.
Now, what makes me think this attorney general is not really one of the good guys is his quote toward the end of the article where he says, now, don't forget, these people did opt in to this facial recognition program. How did they do that? By getting a driver's license.
Yeah, I don't think that that really is a thing. So, the other thing is that there's kind of a connotation here that the Attorney General is doing this because of immigrations and customs. And so he doesn't want to just, like, yank immigrations and customs access. He's just pulling all access. And that may not be true. But are there a lot of illegal or undocumented immigrants in Ohio? Because that's weird.
I bet there are because they have a fair amount of manufacturing, don't they?
I wonder if the Attorney General has any business interests in something that employs a lot of undocumented workers.
Well, he might have a business interest in remaining Attorney General in the next election. So, remember that time that Apple made some laptops that blew up because of the batteries? Well, they recalled those. And you might be one of those people who's like, that's not going to happen to me. And you might face some unintended consequences of that decision.
The FAA has banned recalled MacBook Pros from flights. The FAA says some MacBook Pros should not be taken on airplanes. Yeah, because of the battery. So if your laptop has been recalled, go get the battery fixed. I know Apple is not going out of its way to let you know or even like harass you about replacing the battery, but lithium-ion fires are no joke.
That is the horror of buying an Apple product, because you get this recall and you live, you know, remote Nebraska somewhere, and there's no Apple store within 500 miles of you. And if you ship it to them, they're going to make you pay for that shipping, and it's going to take them 3 weeks to fix it.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, I use this for my work. You shouldn't have bought an Apple.
Apple's trying to do some kind of a deal with Best Buy so that, like, you can get stuff worked on and serviced there properly, like in Best Buy, as opposed to just mailing it off. Because Apple, that was one of the things that Apple was saying in some of their press around this, was like, well, like 95% of the U.S. population is within an hour and a half of an Apple service center. And it's like, doubt.
Doesn't that say that the minimally, that has been proven time and time again, that the minimally trained Best Buy people are just as good at fixing Apple products as the geniuses?
Yeah.
Which means that third-party repair people?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Darn it, Apple.
The U.S. Now, I'm a proud American, but I will say that our ideas about the nuclear world are a little hypocritical. Because there's that thing where it's like, Iran is secretly trying to have nukes. We'll do everything to stop them. But Israel secretly has nukes. And then there's that thing where North Korea wants one nuke.
That's really big.
And you're not allowed to have it. Why? Because we're the police. Well, how many nukes do we have? We have so many nukes that we need this to count them.
Cray is building a supercomputer to manage the U.S. nuclear stockpile. El Capitan can perform 1.5 quintillion calculations per second.
Well, that's a lot of megatons.
That is a lot of megatons.
So, yeah, that's
I like how they've got the Apple El Capitan background picture kind of in there. I mean, I guess that's a picture of actual El Capitan, but I mean...
Now, it's how many exaflops was it? It is just a monster. 1.5 exaflops. 1.5 quintillion calculations per second. 50 times faster than the LLNL Sequoia. So this is not just going to count our nukes. It's going to manage their movement, I imagine. And some of our nukes are old.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. And so it's going to apparently keep better track
of where they are and which ones need to be serviced.
Remember a couple of years ago when it was uncovered that one of the missile silos was using 5.5-inch floppies?
Yeah.
So this is a needed upgrade, I think. So that's cool. It won't come into commission until 2023, though. It takes time to build a computer of that scale. So we talked about the ring thing, and it's kind of... You see stories like this, and it's only going to feed that beast.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure a lot of people saw this story and were like...
There was a story last week. We talked about Amazon and the police department partnering to have easy access to a network of Amazon products, including the Ring doorbell in your neighborhood.
Right.
Well, mass surveillance.
They get a kickback.
Yeah.
But the police are basically multi-level marketing for Ring doorbells.
What could go wrong?
As a, you know, a further horrible thing about that is they then get pretty easy access to those doorbells.
Yeah.
You have to say yes, but Amazon is coaching them and you along the process of saying yes. Now, this story, I'm sure, made a lot of people hop on Amazon and say, oh, I need this in my life.
Yeah. Tennessee couple's video doorbell system led to capture of extremely dangerous escaped inmate, authorities say. So this video is constantly being analyzed, and in the middle of the night, I guess, it was like, hey, there's somebody on your porch. And it was the guy that had escaped. He's extremely dangerous because while he was in prison for something else, he might have been a co-conspirator in a murder, is what it sounded like.
No, he was on a kind of like a work release style thing, and he
stole a tractor.
He killed the woman. So the woman who, she lived on the prison property.
Oh.
She had a house that was provided by the prison, and she was not on duty. She was in her house, and I don't know if she saw him or what, but he killed her on the way out. So he was trying to get into a refrigerator that was on their porch, which, you know, rural people have outside refrigerators. A lot of people don't understand. It's like, why would you have a refrigerator outside? That's just something you have.
There's a refrigerator inside, too. It's just the outside
refrigerator. Yeah, that's the outside fridge. So he was probably very hungry from being on the loose. They mentioned how he was covered in mosquitoes and ticks when they found him. Now, the thing about this guy, there's a picture of him up here, a little small one. Don't you think if you were going to go on the run from the police, you would shave the blue goatee?
How did he even do that? Was that like toilet bowl cleaner? Did he dye it that way?
Yeah, there's a whole like prison cosmetics, especially in women's prisons. Mm. They will do a full line of makeup from various products that they can find around that. Because you're not allowed to buy makeup in prison.
Wow.
That's the human ingenuity is amazing in prison. So we've learned that
this is in the same vein as the voting machines.
Yeah, it is. But we've learned that a lot of the combat controls in the military are going to Xbox 360 controller, right? Yeah. Because it makes total sense. These guys have been shooting things with Xbox 360 controllers their entire lives. Why not make that the real thing? But that's fairly recent. And a lot of the ships and submarines and stuff were refitted a while back with something not quite so intuitive.
The U.S. Navy will replace its touchscreen controls with mechanical ones on its destroyers. So this is as a result of a traffic safety thing where a Navy ship ran over a tanker. And it was weird because they knew that they were going to run over the tanker, but the touchscreens weren't like in control of the ship. They transferred control to manual stations, but there's more than one manual station on the Navy ship, and so it wasn't clear which mechanical station was in charge. So they're just going to replace this with like normal non-touchscreen controls.
I got the idea that like it wasn't just, it was what you described, but it was a process of where one guy would, because they were freaking out and like, you know, going back from communications to controls, and they'd be like, oh God, turn off that engine, and then they turn around and get on the radio, and then the other person in the bed was like, turn the engine back on, you know, and it just kept going back and forth. And so with mechanical controls, you might have seen, like, the controls would literally have moved.
Yeah.
But with this, no one had any idea. And people died. Actually, a lot of people died from this crash.
It was like 18 deaths and 40 injuries. But how many times have we seen something where somebody designed something to look good? Like, you know, like the top brass, like the four-star general is going to come in and is like, wow, this Navy ship is from the future. This looks exactly like Star Trek. This is amazing. But in reality, it's like that was the worst possible design that they could have come up with.
But speaking of Star Trek, how often did that bridge get hit and all the screens went out?
Yeah.
And sparks flew. Don't you want a stick or a throttle or something you can get your hands on in case that happens?
They had a whole second backup battle bridge. Like, they'd have to hop on the turbo lift and go down to the battle bridge.
The turbo lift ain't going to work. So, yeah. Definitely mechanical controls with feedback. And they also mentioned the idea of, you know, with a touchscreen, you're not getting that manual feedback that you need. I think we would have the sense if somebody came along and it was like, look at this touchscreen car that I built. We'd be like, are you insane?
Well, I mean, I was on a steamer that was from like 1860, and there was like this brass handle thing over in the captain's room. And like when the captain would like, it would make ding sounds and like physically move. And like there were two more of those on the ship, and they're all linked together. So like when they were like, you know, half reverse or half full or whatever, they were all reading half full or half reverse, and they would make ding sounds whenever they moved. So I mean, it's like, how did we go backwards from that? That's literally 1860s technology.
Yeah, makes sense. So, websites, terms of service. No one reads them, right?
No.
And you agree to them, and you might be agreeing to something you don't even understand. Well, actually, it turns out some people do read them. And who reads them? Petty lawyers. And when they read them and they find something they don't like, they sue. And California says you can do that.
Websites can discriminate against you even if you don't use them, a California Supreme Court rules. So in certain scenarios, you're not allowed to discriminate against certain classes of people or certain situations under the law. And so this talks about the terms of service for sites like eBay and PayPal and
this stuff was Square.
Like that. This was Square for payments. But they all have things in their terms of service that's like, you can't use the payment for this. And it doesn't constitute discrimination because you have to agree to use the services. And if you agree to use the services, you agree not to do this. So that's an agreement between two parties, not discrimination.
So bankruptcy attorneys and collection agencies, that is a very specific one.
Yeah.
And you think that maybe that would be okay because, I don't know, maybe there's like a conflict of interest with your users or something in there. But according to California, you're your occupation is one of the things that you can't be discriminated for. So this guy found that. Now, he didn't sign up for Square. He saw that, so he didn't sign up. But California's saying you don't have to sign up to be violated by this rule.
You literally couldn't sign up if you agree to the terms of service.
So, be interesting to see how that goes. I would love to know why they put that in there. I got to think that if you just, like, if you run up a bunch of debt through Square, you know, like cancel card transactions or something, this would be a way that they could try to find you, maybe.
Mm.
Or communicate with you through the platform. I'm not sure. I don't think Square works that way. It's an interesting case, definitely. Oh, Fortnite. It's still a juggernaut. Now, is Fortnite, that's still more popular than Apex, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then that kid just won $3 million, and I think that probably sparked a lot of new users, don't you think?
All aboard the hype train.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, oh my God, all I have to do is play a video game for 8 hours a day and I can make $3 million? That sounds like a great idea. Well, it turns out some of the dark past from Fortnite is coming back to haunt them because of their success.
Epic has been hit with a class action suit over hacked Fortnite accounts. Now, this actually happened a while ago. And it was egregious. It was very, very egregious because it turns out that you could log in as somebody else on their account because we made some throwaway Epic accounts. Like, I never entered any kind of payment information or anything like that. And it was with a randomized password. But it was, like, funny usernames. And somehow those accounts were compromised. And there wasn't anything I could do. I didn't care. But I know other people that were hit with the same thing. And they ran up a bunch of charges and did all kinds of other crazy stuff. And for about 6 months, Epic did not care. They did literally nothing customer service-wise to try to deal with it. And they're like, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, and you could have presumably purchased a bunch of stuff on those accounts.
Yeah.
And so you could lose your digital goods.
It turns out it was just dangerously insecure. It wasn't because they guessed that made up password. It's just because it was terrible.
Yeah, it had to do with the password recovery.
Yeah.
So they could initiate it and then cross-site it or something like that. So it was just poorly designed. And it wasn't so much that it was poorly designed for the reason for the class action suit. It's that it was poorly designed and they were just like,
head in the sand.
Who cares?
Total head in the sand.
Do you know how much money we have? Now, also, what a terrible Twitter handle. Anna likes Pikachu. I mean, she capitalized the L, but Anna Diaz. That was a bad idea. Ireland. Ireland has decided to go forward with this ID system that's somewhat reminiscent of India's ID system, although it's based on a card.
Somewhat reminiscent of that ID system that IBM helped Germany with in the 1940s.
But this one, this is card-based, but I think you do store your thumbprint, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out that might have run into some issues.
The Irish state has been told to delete unlawful data on 3.2 million citizens. The Data Protection Commission's stance is a serious blow to the PSC project. So the PSC project thought that they had permission to do this under the law, but they literally said, no, you literally have no reading comprehension. The law does not give you the authority to do this. This is wrong. You should not do this.
And it seemed like some of their argument for it was that this would streamline certain things and it wouldn't be a burden. But then they pointed out some programs where you would have to get this card just to participate. Whereas before, there was no such burden. And so it was like, no, this is doing exactly the opposite of what you've said.
Plus, also, it's inconsistent of the EU to behave like this with personal data. Because, you know, in things like GDPR, the EU is recognizing that the cost of aggregating all of this personal data is too high because the risks to the citizenry is too high that the database would be lost. And so it seems counterintuitive that they would be like, all right, well, let's build a national database because that's obviously not going to be secured properly either.
And so far, have we seen any biometric database that hasn't been leaked?
No.
I think literally everyone
has
eventually been leaked. So, unfortunate. Speaking of citizen databases, Hong Kong, they're having a bit of an uproar over there. And it's interesting.
Things are getting kind of dicey.
The most interesting thing about the Hong Kong situation is how many beloved celebrities are on the Beijing side, which is shocking. It's like, oh, you are benefiting from this power structure and you really like it. That's weird. Now, of course, we have our celebrities that do the same thing. I'm not saying that it's we're any better. But, you know, you think about good old Jackie Chan. He would never be on the evil side. Well, yeah, he's on the evil side. And so...
No! He's fallen to the Red Army.
You see all these people who are being beaten down by these protesters. Or, I mean, the Hong Kong police. And even then, because of the volume of the people... It seems like the tide is turning, right? Like the cops can't kill. There's just too many people. Too many Hong Kong protesters. What do? Well, you get some exciting new technology.
The Mirror in the UK has this terrifying giant fork as the Chinese forces prepare to use the giant fork on Hong Kong protesters. So it's like scroll down to get an idea of...
Why is there a video of a dog here?
Have we been on this page too long? Has it reloaded?
Maybe. I don't know. So it's the very bottom is the best picture of them. There you go.
So, I mean, this seems Orwellian. Like, this is a terrible piece of technology.
Now, they say they can be electrified. I don't really see an obvious battery source there. Do you? Maybe the far end of the handle?
Well, I mean, it doesn't take much. All of that could be stored just in the cylinder there. It's basically a cattle prod.
But as you can see, two of these can pretty much immobilize you. It would be very difficult for you to get up from that.
Yeah.
And it's similar to what they use on like wild animals.
Yeah.
So maybe expect to see these pop up.
You know, these police are equipped with less military technology than other pictures that I have seen coming out of Hong Kong as well. So this is perhaps not a good situation.
Well, they do have guns. Did you see the one video where one of those guys got put in a corner and they pulled his stick and his shield and he went to the gun and the people had the sense to run away? It almost seems like the people should have the same availability to weapons as the government to stop something like this.
If they have a non-electrified cattle prod, that would be good. It's like, no, you have to keep away. It's like, I don't want to, it would be awesome if there was like force field technology. It's like somebody's running at you with like a cattle prod or a hammer or whatever, and it's like, bloop, nope, I'm just in my force field now.
You think you could buy a force field in China? You're dreaming, buddy. That ain't for the plebs.
It's like, I just want to stand here. This piece of technology enables me to stand here peacefully.
You're standing on the people's property.
This is not a free speech zone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we talked about Huawei earlier, and there's, you kind of look at both sides of the coin. Is Huawei evil? Do we really need to distrust them? I mean, they're working with China, and do they work for the Chinese government? A lot of people argue both ways, and of course... So many people hate Trump. I feel like Huawei gets maybe more sympathy than it deserves.
Yeah.
But maybe this will change your mind a little bit.
Huawei technicians helped African governments spy on political opponents. Employees embedded with cybersecurity forces in Uganda and Zambia intercepted encrypted communications and used cell data to track opponents, according to the Wall Street Journal investigation. So this is the premise of this article is actually pretty fascinating. It is, you know... It is basically like, has Huawei participated in situations where the technology would be used in a political way? And this is actually a pretty good example that the Wall Street Journal came up with. It's not a great example in that this is, you know, internal African politics and...
The Chinese government wouldn't have to be involved here.
Yeah.
So it's not like spying per se. But basically... Huawei has built the infrastructure for a lot of these African countries.
Yeah.
And of course, they do so hand in hand with the current political regime.
Yeah. You know,
that's who hires them and that's who pays them. And it seems like to make sure that that regime stays in power and they keep their juicy contracts, they're helping them eliminate competition through surveillance.
So this is a commercial interest, not a political interest, technically. But... Yeah, it's still, like, this is not a good situation. Like, if this technology, like, we need a world standard where this kind of technology is built to prevent anybody from exploiting it in this way.
But you could say, I mean, think about, take this same situation, take the Chinese government out of it, right? Huawei builds an undersea cable, and Trump wins in 2020. Huawei doesn't like Trump. Don't you think they would help the opposition?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
don't you think they would help the opposition if the opposition is like called on them to be like, hey, you can do this to help us? And it's like, whoa, is that interfering with elections or, you know, what is that?
This was definitely interfering with elections. It doesn't get much clearer, I don't think. Assuming it's true, which, Wall Street Journal. Presumably we trust them? I don't know. India has a little problem with Pakistan. They are not getting along. And Kashmir is kind of right there in the middle. Now, technically, it's India right now, right? But everybody's a little bit torn on who it belongs to. It's kind of like that Taiwan thing. And they're getting a little uppity, like the Hong Kong people, They're trying to ask for certain rights and independence. And India says, I don't think so, bro.
India has shut down Kashmir's internet access. Now, quote, we cannot do anything. Pharmacists cannot restock medicines and workers aren't being paid. But the government still loves to block the internet for peace and tranquility. This is a little preview of what's going to happen because the internet has become so important to so many countries and everyday citizens. I mean, can you imagine if the situation was, look, we're just going to completely shut down everything unless you stop protesting and go back to work.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that we're the same way here because ever since the opiate war, all of your pharmaceutical stuff has to go through a federal database.
You literally cannot even buy Sudafed without getting a positive ping on that thing, not to confirm that you're over the limit, but that you're under the limit.
Yeah, so you think, hey, I need my insulin. Well, if the internet's out, you might not get it. And then, of course, credit card transactions, everything shuts down. Sometimes you will go to a place and they're like, the computers are down, we can't take payments. And it's like, I got cash. No, the computers are down. We can't do this manually. It just doesn't work. I couldn't get a driver's license recently because they were like, I'm sorry, internet's down, can't take your picture. So that's terrifying. And this is purely politically motivated. So
it's crazy. Oh, the craziest one is the ophthalmologist. Can't do anything at the ophthalmologist because the government connection to get a scan of your retina was down.
You think they could bash those later?
Well, it's for a research project, but it's not really.
We know that we've moved to security, by the way. We know that advertising companies have become wizards at identifying you based on factors other than your actual identity. So you can hide your IP, and you can use a VPN, you can do various things. And what will they do? Well, they'll look at your screen resolution, what toolbars you have installed. They'll store things, these little cookies and JavaScript and stuff like that. And they try to get this single ID that follows you across all your devices, all your browsers, everything that you do. And sometimes companies make decisions that make that trivial. And sometimes those are security companies. And that's embarrassing.
Kaspersky Antivirus injected unique ID that allowed sites to track users even in incognito mode. Kaspersky added in 2015 also made it possible to be ID'd across different browsers. So that ID number was the same between your Chrome and your Firefox and Internet Explorer and all the different browser engines. Now, weren't we mad at Kaspersky? Weren't they an agent of the Russian government not that long ago?
Well, yeah, according to
kind of like Huawei,
the Trump administration. But I don't think they ever proved anything.
So was this malicious or incompetence?
Well, it was a thing where they were supposedly checking the they were verifying links before they returned them to you. So they actually embedded a little check mark or an X.
Mm.
And this was part of that. But part of that check mark or the X embedded your ID. So when you click the link, you were sending an argument to the website. Now, most websites probably would just ignore that. But if anybody figured out, hey, that's an ID where I can keep that and know that it's always this user.
But if Kaspersky was a state actor, wouldn't they have a database of those IDs since they don't change? And they could track you, across all your unencrypted traffic?
And they could send free Kaspersky licenses to people of interest? It could happen. I don't know if it did. We are more and more, we talk about biometrics, right? More and more the world is going toward biometrics for access to things. Thumbprint, we all use thumbprint on our phone. Now you get the facial recognition stuff. But for higher end buildings, like warehouses or really nice apartments and stuff like that, you might have a thumbprint that gets you in there. And that's super secure, right?
It turns out that Ars Technica found a world-readable database used to secure buildings around the globe. 23 gigabytes. Had plain text passwords, face images, and much, much more. So this is a pretty big disclosure. One company that was responsible for all this biometric stuff was like, we'll just store it in one big old database that's publicly readable by all of our systems on the internet.
It pointed out who was using it. Trying to find a list here. But it was... here we go, yeah. Union Member House, Litzlink, Phoenix Medical. Phoenix Medical? That sounds important.
Well, that's going to be a HIPAA violation. Sorry.
Power World Gyms. You know you're going to a high-end gym when you thumbprint in. I bet that's expensive. Global Village, Euro Park is a car parking thing. Inspire.lab.
Co-working.
So, yeah. This was a service that you could use to you know, make your place, quote-unquote, secure.
No.
Yeah, bad idea. They also pointed out that the plain text passwords, yeah, that's right, plain text passwords were laughable in so many cases. There was multiple instances of ABCD1234. It's summertime, and as a parent, you probably long for this time because you can send your child away legally.
7 weeks. That sounds amazing.
Oh, so great. But today's helicopter parents, it's not enough for them to let their child go and actually go and like experience the world and, you know, maybe develop emotionally. No, we have to use technology to track them just like everything else.
Summer camps use facial recognition so parents can watch from home. The kids at summer camp are not really aware that facial recognition is going on. What's happening here is the camp takes away their technology and isolates them. And so, like, these kids are basically off the grid at summer camp. But what happens is, like, there's a camp photographer who's going around taking pictures of the kids doing stuff. And then those pictures are uploaded to a computer that goes through facial recognition. And then it associates the kids with the parents. So the parents get pinged with when a photograph contains a picture of their kid so that they can see that their kid is having a good time or not. Which is kind of cool, but also then very scary.
Is this your camper? And also it shows this guy has two campers, so he can switch between them. Yeah. Interesting. Now, they did talk to the photographer. This is a very long article. And the photographer said, "My life has become hell." Because these parents expect individual shots of each of their kid with like at least once a day, you know, so I have to go, I can't see them, like I can't recognize their faces, so I have to take, she said she walked an average of 13 miles a day trying to go to every activity and shoot individual kids, and then she would still get complaints. It's like, all I got was a group picture today, WTF, you know?
That's more than my personal record even during Computex.
That's a great job if you want to get in shape, right? Carrying camera equipment and batteries for 13 miles and dealing with children all day. That's one of the circles of hell. And finally, we will finish up on Fortnite. Now, we already talked about Fortnite, right? Did they do something else security-wise? Well, not really.
It's a little taste of nonsense.
But the winner has, you know, his fame was immediate. I don't think anybody knew who he was.
No.
And then all of a sudden, he became the $3 million Fortnite kid. And what happens when you immediately become famous like that? You get attention that you don't want.
Yeah. $3 million Fortnite winner, and his parents become the latest swatting target. So he was streaming, and the cops showed up at his house. But fortunately, one of the cops was familiar with his occupation and what he does and that kind of thing. So the story has a happy ending. Ish.
Is it happy though?
They didn't like burst in and no one was shot, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm surprised in amongst all this that no one is calling for, or no one of with any kind of voice is calling for a change to how police respond to these kinds of things.
It's funny though. As a result of this, the Seattle Police Department has a registry now. So like if you stream online, you can register and that will be taken into consideration whenever swattings happen, apparently.
But
do we need that?
But it also shows that, you know, if you're a master criminal, you can puppeteer the entire police force at your whim.
Yeah.
So you can scramble, because when one of these SWAT calls hits, they're taking all of, because the SWAT teams are usually across several, you know, like different forces.
I'm pretty sure that was in the Christopher Nolan Batman movie.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, it's a kind of a comic book style thing, but I'm sure somebody could utilize it if they wanted to. So, Yeah, but anyway, he didn't actually even stop his stream.
Yeah.
Probably ruined that run.
Yeah.
But he just came back and was like, oh, I got swatted. I'm a millionaire. And he kept playing Fortnite because that's what he does. I wonder how many Twitch people he has. How many subscribers
thousands,
he has.
Thousands upon thousands.
You think that's going to like mess him up?
Yes.
Because he's, what was he, 16?
Yeah, no doubt.
It's going to be weird.
Super messed up.
It's going to be interesting to see. And I guess some of them are probably old enough now. But to see if the e-celebrity gets as screwed up as the child star, child actor.
What's going on with Fatality, my namesake? Like, what's he up to? Because he was, like, he was a child star, and he was, like, super famous. And that was before there was, like, that much money involved in things. So, my mental picture of him is that he has a relatively ordinary existence at this point.
See, I don't think he's famous enough.
He was the most famous at the time.
How old was PewDiePie when he started?
Oh, like, I think he was in his 20s.
Oh, okay. And he's probably more adaptive at that point. Well, I guess we'll find out one day, won't we?
Who do we got in the news for tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have business, and let's see, we did security today, so we'll do social tomorrow.
Well, if you're impatient, you can get it on Patreon, but, you know, it's fine.
But it's only a dollar. We'll see you then.
See ya.